Morning and greetings in Christ's precious name. This last couple weeks, maybe I should say, I've been thinking about the church quite a bit. And I was studying on that and thinking about that, I guess. And as I went to bed last night planning to share on that, and as I woke up this morning, I felt like something else was laid on my heart. And maybe it has part to do with it, I guess. As I thought about it here, what I felt led to share on does affect the church. And maybe it's, you know, I believe the devil doesn't often attacked us just right in our face. Often he starts working at the foundation. Recently I heard someone say the devil always chips away at the foundation, because if he can break the foundation down and erode at it, it eventually will break you down, break us down. And you think about the wise man and the foolish man. I thought about that. You know, the wise man built a house on the rock, it says. And the foolish man built it on the sand. And you think about that, you know, it doesn't say a large wave came in and took the house. It says as the waves came in, they beat upon the sand and it knocked that house down. It took the foundation out from underneath that house. And we're going to go into John chapter 15 today. But before we go there, this morning I got an email. I don't know if any of you read the Voice of the Martyrs. I get their email. I'm not sure how often it comes, but I find it inspiring to read those stories. And we truly live in a land of ease and wealth. And as I read stories of brothers and sisters that give so much for Christ and the church, I'm challenged. And this morning, there was a write-up. And why don't we turn there? Matthew 10, verse 16. And I'm going to quote some from that write-up and some that I thought about, I guess, that as I was challenging me. But, you know, often when you think of this verse, very often we quickly will say the last part of it. We're supposed to be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We've all heard that. Maybe we've even said it. And we forget about the first part of that verse. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." And you think about that, a sheep in the midst of wolves in nature is, that's a problem. It's not going to work. But Christ says, I sent you as my followers, my believers, as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus, I believe, was warning his closest followers here as he wrote this, or as he said this, sorry, that their mission on earth was to proclaim that his kingdom wouldn't be easy, but that also that his kingdom would only be taken by his power and through him. And who were those wolves? In that time, it was the judicial leaders, I believe, that were there. And it was all those who opposed the gospel. Today, I guess that challenged me as I thought about that, as I read that write-up. And it went on to talk about, if any of you follow the Voice of the Martyrs, Richard Wurmbrand is the one that started that organization. And Richard was imprisoned, and I forgot to get the years, but he was imprisoned in Romania, communist Romania, and I do not remember how long ago this was, but for quite a few years for preaching the gospel there. And he was persecuted very... he went through some cruel circumstances there. And I'm going to quote some things that he wrote. He wrote quite a few books. But he said, persecuted Christians are facing difficult opponents. And he said, some are facing Marxism. Marxism is a political and economic system of ideas developed by Karl Marx that led to the establishment of communist countries around the world. Marxism is atheistic at its core, reflected in Karl Marx's famous belief that religion is the opiate of the people. During his life, Marx developed not just an apathy, but a hatred towards God. In a poem he wrote, and I quote, "I wish to avenge myself from the one who rules above." Can you imagine getting to that place in your life that you feel you could hate God so much that you want to avenge yourself from your Creator? And he wrote a book titled Karl Marx and the Satanic Roots of Communism. And he did it to inform and warn, I believe, leaders about what the dangers of that belief, anyhow. And in that book, one paragraph that I had, it says, "Let us remember that Marx's ideal was to descend into the abyss of hell and draw all mankind after him. Let us not follow him on this vicious path, but rather follow Jesus Christ, who leads us upwards to a place of light, wisdom, and love, toward a heaven of unspeakable glory." There are many today giving a lot for Christ's kingdom. We've all heard, probably a lot of us have heard the name Charlie Kirk in the last few days, and I'm not going to sit here and try to preach about him or lift him up beyond what we should, but I believe he was shot doing what Christ commanded us to do. We may not all agree with him on everything, but my question to you is, what am I doing better? Charlie went to the very gates of hell, and I say that because the college campuses are set up for one reason. It's to indoctrinate youth. And my challenge to you, doesn't matter what you believe about Charlie this morning, my challenge to you is, what are you and I doing that is better than that? He talked to people that, to his face, hated him, called him all types of things. And I'll be bluntly honest, I think any one of us here is very shy. If we know it's going to be confrontational, it's easier to be quiet. And that's a challenge to myself, because I know that's how I am. It's easier to be quiet. It's easier to just let it slide. Well, we don't want to make a scene here. The Lord needs to give us wisdom, though, to when to talk, I believe. But I believe we all need to do a little more speaking about truth. But in saying that, we need to know what truth is. Charlie, I believe, was like a sheep in the wolves, and you and I are called to be that. We're called to go forth into a world that wants to destroy us, that wants to see nothing better than to see us crushed. We're not here to talk about politics today. We're here to talk about you and my relationship with Christ. We're here to talk about what the church needs to be doing. And I feel like I'm not going to touch on the church a whole lot today. I'm going to touch more on what you and I are called to do. And that's why I want to jump over now to John chapter 15. My title this morning is taken out of verse 14. And my title is, Ye Are My Friends If. And that's taken out of verse 14 there. He says, Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And, you know, we can all sit here, we those of us that grew up in the Mennonite setting, we know what we should believe. We know. We've heard it. We understand exactly, probably we would say, what Christ taught. But am I living it? That's the challenge that I've been facing in my life. Am I living what Christ taught? And we're going to just go through this chapter, and I was looking back, and not too many sermons back, I had went through some of this chapter, and so bear with me if I'm repeating things I said before, but I believe we can learn a lot out of this. Verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no matter can ye, except ye abide in me. Let's just back up and look at that simple scenario. On fruit trees, if there's too many branches, it makes the tree, it produces less. And so people prune it so that it produces more. They want the good branches that are healthy to produce all the fruit they can. And that purging there is talking about pruning in verse 2. Keep going. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I think we can see pretty clearly here, as Christ was teaching, that something is expected of you and I. And that is, we're to bear fruit. So often we look around and... let's back up. Isn't it easy for us to always, when we have a problem in our lives, blame others? But God looks at what I produce. It doesn't matter what, you'll never be able to get before God and stand before your Creator and give a reason good enough that God says, it's okay, you'll slide through. He's going to judge me by my fruits. Someday, you and I will stand before an almighty God that created us, and each one of us will give answer for what we've done. Not because of what someone did to me, whatever, but because of the fruit that came from my life. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. There is something you and I need to decide there. And verse 6 makes it, I think, pretty clear that it's not something I can base on a past experience. There's nothing wrong with going back and we remember the date that we became a Christian, that we were baptized, a beautiful time of our lives, but we can never live life going back to that time of life. Because of that, I'm fine. Verse 6 makes it clear that we need to have a progressive relationship. One that is, and what I mean by that, you know, let's just make it simple. When a young man seeks a relationship with a young girl, he seeks to know her better. He goes out of his way to learn to know her, learn her likes, learn what she doesn't like even. And I believe it's what Christ wants from each one of us. He wants us, and that never stops. As you go through life, you continue to try to learn to try to know your partner better. And I believe it's the same way with us. As we seek that relationship with Christ, we seek to know him better. It's a continual thing. We can't go back to that one time. And yes, I have this beautiful relationship, because a relationship takes work. It takes a growing. It takes a progressiveness. It takes an abiding in Christ. And that abiding means that I'm going to seek out Christ and what he wants from me. And I'm going to learn to know him better. The next couple of verses are ones that we go to very quickly. And I want to say this carefully, but so often in churches, we want to talk about love. We want to talk, you know, people need to understand me. People need to respect my feelings. What is love? Is love just putting up with each other? Or does it sometimes, is it what we call tough love, where we need to let our brother or sister come to us, tap us on the shoulder and say, I'm concerned, or I see something that's bothering us. Does it line up with scriptures? So often we're quick to throw our hands out and say, where's love? Why are they talking to me? Why are my leaders concerned? Why are they asking these things? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You know, that's a little bit of a play on words there in verse 13 and, well, 12, 13. You know, you think of Christ talking. You know, if you go back into Ephesians and even Galatians, there's different verses where, you know, it talks about loving someone willing to die for someone that was good. It says, peradventure, some may die for some that are good. There are times because, you know, there's different stories we could look at where because of a cause, someone was willing to die for someone else. It was because there was a cause they believed in. There was a person they loved enough that they were willing to do that. But let's look at what Christ did for you and I. Before you and I loved Christ, before you and I were in our sin, and Christ died for us. That's a love that Christ is talking about. This is my command, that ye love one another as I have loved you. In other words, before I loved Christ, he loved me. And the thing about love that the world doesn't like is, in a sense, love is service. Love is servanthood. It's serving. It's giving of myself. It's giving of my everything. Verse 14 is the one that I used as the title. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And we're going to look at some of those commandments, and they're very simple. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If you look at that word friend there, it strictly means chosen one. When Christ calls us a friend, it means he chose us. He offered his love before you and I offered it back. And he says, he puts that very simple. He puts an if in there. If ye do whatsoever I command you. And I guess that's what stood out to me. That if makes it a challenge. Because what it does, it says that you and I have a part in this. We all love to talk about, someone in Sunday school was said, you know, people ask, why will a loving God allow things to happen like that, whatever it is? The point is, we have a choice. To continue in a relationship, I'm going to seek out ways, I believe, to get to know Christ better. And these commandments that he talks about, we're going to figure out what some of them are. Very first one, we'll just take it out of verse 16. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. The first one, go and bring forth fruit. And you know, maybe there's a second part there too. He says, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, we're to continue to bear fruit. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something that's just going to happen, but it's something that we're going to have to work on. Galatians 5, let's look at that fruit. What is it? We ask each other, look around maybe and say, what is that fruit? Is it evident? Is it evident in our church? Is it evident in me? Galatians 5, 22 through 24. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We're not going to go through these this morning. We don't have time. And talk about each one. But we probably all can say these by heart. My challenge is to you, are you living the fruit of the Spirit? Does it come out of your life? Do people know, do they see that in us? You know, I had an experience recently that I guess it challenged me. Someone came to me and they wondered if someone else had recently become a Mennonite. And I was kind of, can I say, I was kind of shocked, I guess, because I would say that person doesn't live a very godly life. And I said, well, no, I don't, not that I know of. And he said, well, he had met him on the road and he was talking like a Mennonite. But his life didn't line up, he said. And that's putting it in short in my words. That challenged me. He was talking like one. But he didn't quite, it didn't line up. It wasn't quite right. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? There's a couple other verses maybe we'll pull out quickly. Maybe we'll go over to James. I'd like to look at that verse there. James chapter 3, verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. simple little teaching there. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Back to each one of us has a part in this. Jump over to John now again, back where we were pretty much. John chapter 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And the point I just wanted to bring out of that is, for us to be effective, ourself needs to die. If we are to portray Christ, we need to get ourselves out of the way and let Christ shine through. And I guess that's why I was challenged when I was asked that question, is because it made me realize it doesn't matter how I talk, it's what I live. And that's a challenge to us in our church here, in our community. You know, we can talk to these people. We can talk to people that are asking us questions. And, you know, I did not know anything hardly about Charlie Kirk before he was shot. But as I heard about it, and, you know, we went on a trip. I was back in Pennsylvania, and I was amazed. I'd called my wife. I had just got out of the airport. There was men standing around. And you could clearly hear them. They're watching YouTube, whatever it was. And they were watching Charlie Kirk. And I had to think about that. One thing Charlie did do is he lived what he believed. And he wasn't scared to tell it. Let's look at the last commandment. The first one was to bring forth fruit. The second one that I'm going to use is verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, he starts this verse. If you just read that first part, these things I command you, you'd kind of expect a page full of things that I need to do, right? He makes it very simple, that you love one another. As I read that, I guess that thought stood out to me. You know, he starts the verse like he has a long list for us to do, and he makes it very simple. Love one another. And then the question comes, what is love? How do I love my brother or my sister? How do I show them love? Verse 12, you love one another as I have loved you. That's Christ. And I think that's our perfect example that we can go to. How did Christ show love? Let's look at Romans 5. I think that's a good one. I think we'll take the time to start reading at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The perfect example of love. And we did talk about this a little bit earlier, but verse 8, While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet unlovely, Christ gave himself for us. That's a perfect example. But there's so many. I want to look at some of them too, but I don't want to take too much of our time. But Ephesians 4:32, probably we could all say it. Maybe, why don't we say it all together? Let's all turn there. Ephesians 4:32. Let's say this one together. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, it's a simple verse. It's one we've heard probably our mother, parents taught us when we were very young. But there's a lot of meaning packed in that. And it just struck me again as I read that, this as I was studying. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, does your heart, when you see a brother or sister struggling, does it cause you, you see a brother or sister hurting, does it cause you pain? When you see them going through something, are you willing to be gentle? Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In other words, if you say that Christ made a difference in your life, that is how you will handle your brother or your sister. You will be that quick to forgive you. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you didn't have to spend days there naming everything and in detail, writing it out and trying to figure this out and then explaining to God why. You simply had to ask God for forgiveness. That's how we need to be with our brother or sister. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Philippians, let's look at that one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, there wouldn't be a lot of church problems. There wouldn't be a lot of problems in our homes, in our churches, in our brotherhood relationships if we did that, I believe. Do I look at my brother as less than me or more? Do I esteem him more than myself? Galatians 5 again. I'm sorry, I have a few of these I'd just like to read. I know they're simple teachings. You don't need to turn to them if you don't want. But Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed ye be not consumed one of another. Does this sound like things that go on between me and my brother, or you and your sister? Am I serving today? That's how we love. Serve each other. 1 Corinthians 16:14, just simply do everything in love. Serve in love. Verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. What are those commandments? First of all, bear fruit. As we go through today, through the coming week, you know, next weekend is council service, baptism, and a communion. Am I bearing fruit? Is my life bringing forth something that brings others to God? Is it more than lip service? Is it more than what my neighbor says he talks like a Mennonite at least? Or do they see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of my life? I believe we need to take that caution literal, because our neighbors see more than we realize. they see those church problems. They see those brotherhood relationship issues. And sometimes they even see the homes that are hurting. Bear fruit. Number two, these things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, right now, the conservative Christian community in the world is on fire because of one person's life in a lot of ways. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. We need to take the challenge. We need to be inspired. But my challenge is to you is to take it off the person and put it on Christ. But in so doing, let's not push that down. Let's light the fire in our own hearts. Let's bring forth fruit. Let's bring forth what we're called to do. And I just think it's so interesting, Christ telling us there that if we're his friend, we will do these things. And he makes it sound like there's a long list, but it's actually simple: to bear fruit and to love one another. If we are living that way, our church will be blessed, our brotherhood, our sisters will be blessed, and they will know it. Let's be faithful. Let's serve the Lord. We'll have a song, and we'll turn the time over to Brother Jess.